Now would you like to turn with me in your Bibles to the first Psalm? Psalm 1. Let me read it for you. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Well, I'm going to preach for a few weeks now on a short series of the Psalms. It's about a month or 5 weeks ago now since I finished the series on the book of Ecclesiastes. And at the end of it, I did have a nice conversation with George Cottington. And I said to him, do you think I should retire? And he said, I don't think that's a good idea, Andrew. So here I am. So you've got George to thank, most of all. Thanks for that, George. So I'm back, and I'm here preaching this morning on the first Psalm. 44 years ago, I became a Christian. And on my departure to London to become a student, my uncle gave me a Bible. This is it. And in it, he wrote a Bible text. It's the first Bible text I was ever given that was, as it were, given to me. And over the years, I've had many people who've shared Bible texts with me. Anne and Rick sent me a nice one on a card when I was sick, and I still have it. And I remember this one of 44 years ago. You can see it's written there in red. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. These are the words of the psalmist, Psalm 32:8. It's the first text of scripture that I ever committed to memory. And the psalms have been with me ever since that very first day when I began my Christian journey. And today I read them regularly. I read them often at the very beginning of the morning worship. If you look at the life of the New Testament church, it says that they sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This morning I want to tell you that the psalms are wisdom sayings. In our day, don't we need wisdom? They are wisdom sayings. The psalms are songs. They are laments. They are poetry inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a remarkable portion of scripture. And I would say in all the world, there is probably no writing quite like it. In all cultures, in all ages, in all generations, throughout the world, has anything ever been produced like the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is awesome. Simply awesome. Friends, these are the psalms. They touch life in a way, perhaps like nothing else. So I'm glad this morning to be able to bring to you the psalms. They still speak today. They're as good today for the young people as they were to me as a young man 44 years ago. And they will be good to you if you can just give this 30 minutes to concentrate on what I have to say about the first psalm. So I like it if you keep your Bibles open and then you can look at the text yourself. Then you can verify what is being said. Now, if I were to give an overview of the first psalm, I would probably say something like this. The God of the Bible is not vague. He can be clearly understood. From Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, he sets out quite clearly what he thinks about man, about human beings, about people. And he only essentially reveals to us two kinds of man, two kinds of person. There's only the natural man in the Bible and the spiritual man. There's no one in between. The spiritual man or woman is that woman, that man, who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, changed, altered forever. The natural man, the natural woman, is the one without the Spirit of God. No spiritual life in them whatsoever. So if you're the spiritual man, you're the spiritual woman, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, and you have been altered forever. Listen carefully now. There are no in-betweens. There are no, I'm a bit of a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. You're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. You're either holy in God's sight or you're unholy. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous. There are no in-betweens. There are no grey areas. And you say to me now, perhaps in your mind's eye, I don't like what this man is. I don't like this man. And what I say this morning, I say again, don't blame me. I can actually take it. Don't worry, I've got broad shoulders after all these years. I can take it. It's God you've got to go to. He has not given any grey areas. The natural man, the spiritual man. The natural person, the spiritual person. Only two. God only recognises them. And here, if I were given an overview of the first psalm, I would present it like this, because it is presented to us in unmistakable terms, which we cannot doubt. It's not difficult for us to grasp it. So I'm just going to take the first verse this morning. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Now, some versions say this. They say, happy is the one. Happy. Another version says, oh, the joys. Oh, the joys of the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Now, this person, you'll notice, is happy because of what they do not do. In other words, they're happy in the negative. You'll see next week, they're happy also in the positive. But it begins by them being happy in the negative. They're happy as the ones who do not walk in step. Now, I'm struck by those military folk. And some of you have been in the military. I think of Dwayne, and I know that Harry also is in the cadets. And I'm sure that in Dwayne's early training in the RAF, in fact, he confirmed it this morning, the drill was the sheer amount of time, day in and day out, week in and week out, drilling to make men walk in step. And when you see those men marching and they're in step, it's an incredible sight. Not one arm out of place, not one too high or too low. And you see it in all the armies around the world, in America, or even see it in Russia and in Korea, all over the place. They have practiced to be in step. And I imagine that it takes some getting used to. Now, what do you think it looks like? Dwayne confirmed to me this morning. When one is out of step. Why, he or she, they stand out like a sore thumb. Of course they do. And I suspect also that there would have been a lot of abuse given by the drill sergeants and the rest who looked after these men. You can imagine the one, I'd be the one. I would. And if Duane had been looking after me, he'd be hammering me every time. You're out of step, you're out of step. And everybody would be looking at me. And everybody would be blaming me and saying, you've got more time now on drill because of you. Was it like that, Duane? Sort of. Yes. Marching in step. Well, the psalmist points up the joys. Oh, the joys of being out of step. It's incredible. He says, oh, the joy of being out of step. Oh, the joy of not keeping in step with the wicked and with the ungodly. Oh, the joy. Think of it. Those who are wicked, who all do essentially the same thing, who are driven only by their nature, who all keep in step together. Before I became a Christian, this is one of the things that I was most struck by. How all of us, this is me and my pals, all my friends, the people I used to know, everybody kept in step. It was quite extraordinary. And do you know what? What Duane and the others have done did not come very easily. They had to really practice at it. But when you work at wickedness and darkness and sin, well, it comes so easily. To keep in step with everyone else is just so easy. The same smutty jokes, the same bad language, the same behaviour, the same manners. Why, it comes to you almost naturally. And everyone keeps in step. Think of those who behave almost like brute beasts, like animals, with drugs and sex and alcohol or whatever. Keep in step, that's the thing. Hatred and bitterness and jealousy, keep in step. And of course, I want to say this, that it is true that not all the wicked are as wicked as the very worst of them. So you must not say, well, that this doesn't include me because I'm not like the very worst of them. Because what God does is he reveals in a blanket way, that all men are fallen, all women, every human being is fallen. There is no exception. You're no better than the rest. You're tainted in exactly the same way, just as I was as an unbeliever. And yet God says here that there is one who may be blessed. There is one who may be happy. There is one who is truly happy. And that man or that woman is the one who is out of step. When we walk with the wicked, we associate with them. And there's no doubt that when we become Christians, that our associations change. Our conversations change. Our conversations alter forever. Our associations change. Our friends change. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just listen to this. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. He'll alter your walk. The conversations and manners of those who do not love God are distinct. I'll tell you why I know this. Because it was once my conversation. It was once my language. It was once my behavior. So I know it exactly. And it is to walk in darkness. Listen to Daniel. Daniel speaks of those who walk in pride, but the Lord is able to humble them. So if you think about your life, young people, it's a walk. And I know we have the expression, it's a walk in the park, but because of the darkness of our sin, it's not a walk in the park at all. The Apostle John says God's command is to walk in love. And that, I would suggest to all of you, is real and true and lasting happiness. But to walk with those who are against such a spirit is to walk in step with the present evil age that we are living in today. So, perhaps you might ask this question: are we in step or are we out of step? Actually, you know. I only pose the question, but in fact, you already know the answer. Are we in step or are we out of step? Someone asks this question. This is not definitive, this isn't the entirety of the answer I give now. But someone asks this question: how will I know when I am a Christian? You'll be out of step. You'll know. You'll be out of step. You'll know it. It'll be obvious to you. And actually, and I'm determined in the ministry of God's word to try to reach people. That's my job. When people weigh up the gospel, they very quickly weigh up the cost of what it will be. They know instinctively, I will be out of step at school with my friends, with my pals, with my work colleagues, with my family, with my neighbours. I will be out. Jesus will put me out of step. When he said, I have come to bring fire upon the earth, what do you think he meant? He meant to put you out of step with the broad way that most people are following. If it's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on that road, the scripture says, it's because they're all in step. They all march very nicely, perfectly, in unison. It's the believer who goes onto the narrow path, onto the narrow road, and marches out of step. Quickly, let me tell you, when you're out of step, your friends want to get to you. Of course they do. You've got to have the right view of politics. Well, you've got to have the right view of politics. You've got to have the right view of morals. I mean, woe betide anybody today who swims against the new morality. No, you've got to have the right view of morality. Woe betide anybody who doesn't walk in step. And you've got to have the right view about marriage and relationships, and the right view about sex, and the right view about raising children and families. By the way, have you noticed how much unhappiness there is in the world? Have you not seen it? It's because everybody is marching in step. The tune is played, and everybody marches to it. And woe betide anybody who steps out of line. Jesus comes along and he says, I want to get you out of step. This is the glory of the Christian gospel. Have you noticed then, someone who is truly happy, someone who has broken company with the godless and with the wickedness? If you have, you'll have noticed that they're the ones who have said that bad company corrupts good character. So young people, I'm just telling you, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. And I'm going to test the adults near the end of this message to see if you really believe this. So it's costly, I know, to turn away from the world's chatter. It's costly to turn away from the gossip. It's costly for the young people on what's now called social media to turn away from it, to go in the opposite direction. It's costly to not adopt the world's philosophy. But it is ultimately the way of happiness, because the first part of Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step. Oh, what joy, what happiness of the one who does not walk in step. And it's my job, just simply always, to urge people to repentance and to faith in Christ as the Saviour. And when you repent of your sins and you go to him in faith, you may place your hand into his hand, and he will walk hand in hand with you, and his company, I promise you, will never disappoint you, and you will be blessed indeed. Now, if you look at the text, you can see that this blessedness, this happiness, is, or as it were, in three parts. The blessedness, one concerns walking, one concerns standing, and there's yet another that concerns sitting. So, what does it say? Or stand in the way that sinners take. The New Living Translation puts it like this: standing around. Now, this appears to me to depict this idea of loitering. Now, I know what this is for me, so I can go back to my own teenage years, my own childhood years. This is loitering. This is standing around. This is passing the time. You don't see so much of that now with young people, because they're loitering on the net. They're loitering, of course, on social media. Of course they are. They're passing the time of day, and they're choosing the company of those who have a way about them. The text says, or stand in the way that sinners take. Now, I wouldn't want anyone to get the wrong impression here. This is really important. The psalmist doesn't mean to cut across that work which the Lord Jesus Christ did, where he deliberately went out to sit amongst and be amongst and eat with those people who the religious leaders considered to be the low life, the sinners. And Jesus deliberately went out to those people, and he made, as it were, a beeline for them, because he cared so greatly about them. And this must be the work of the church always. Yes, it must be like that. But the psalmist is saying, for the wicked, there is a definite way that sinners take. Do you want to be happy? Don't be in league with them. Don't walk with them. Don't make your journey of life with them. And I can illustrate this very easily right now, for all the adults now, for all the parents. You love your children. Of course you do. I love my children. And my grandchildren. I love them like my own life. And there will be those of you here who have exactly the same sentiments. You feel very deeply about your children and about your grandchildren. Do you want them to hang around with a group at school or on the streets who are doing drugs? Yes or no? You love them, let's not forget that. Do you want them to spend time in the company of those who are peddling drugs, with the potential of seeing your daughter, your son, entirely ruined forever? And the answer in every case, come on, be honest with me, the answer is you do not want that. Because the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. Oh, the wisdom of God's word. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't gravitate towards them. I'm not saying the church or this church. The church is perfect. It's vastly imperfect because it's made up of sinners who are saved by the grace of God. But the church is the salt of the earth. Let your children come to the church. Let them meet the Lord's people. Let them grow up in the life of the church. It will do them good. It will do great good to them. I'm passionate about it. I've told you this before, but I say it again from my heart. Because sin has so greatly hurt my life as a young man, so wounded me and damaged me. First-hand experience of sin. And although the Lord, by his goodness and grace, has forgiven me, yet I shall never ever have a history having it not been a part of my life. Think carefully about the people that you love. Bring them to the church. Have them to hear the word of God. The girls you begin to know at school who are joking around about their sexual exploits as young teenagers. Do you want to be with them? Do you want to talk with them on the internet? Do you want to spend time with them? Do you want them to influence you? The young guys who are doing the same thing. Don't get drawn in is what I'm telling you. And I'll tell you this. If you have been pained at the thought of being out of step, then you'll go and stand with them. You'll go and join with them. Happy. Oh, the joy, the blessedness of the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, who does not stand in the way that sinners take, who does not stand. There is a way that sinners take, and actually you don't need this church to tell you what that way is. You don't need an evangelical preacher to tell you, because it is plain before your very eyes. And perhaps even as I preach this morning, there's a young lad, there's a young girl on the streets of London just about to get involved with one of the dreadful gangs that are now burgeoning at this time. Perhaps they're on the verge of it. Perhaps they need to hear that bad company corrupts good character. I'm being explicit now, I want the young people to grow up and I want them to be sexually pure until they're married. Can I say that today? Am I allowed to say this? Is this important? You'd better believe it, because there are so many other voices who are saying the exact opposite. I want them to be looked after. I want them to be cared for. I want this church to have a voice and to be passionate about these things. The Bible tells me that one day we will all give an account to the Lord. And the watchman who saw the danger coming, says the prophet Ezekiel, but did not warn them, his blood I will require. I take this extremely seriously indeed. Young people, listen to me. The bad company is likely to rub off on you. Perhaps it's the adults, the folk at the office ask you out for a drink after work, and what can be wrong with that? Perhaps there's nothing wrong with that at all. But soon the drinking and the joking and the banter and the conversation draw you into their way. The psalmist says, don't stand in the way of sinners if you want to be happy. And I repeat this once more. There's enough unhappiness in the world. Surely it's on display. Blessed, oh, the joy, the happiness of the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. Now, finally, he says, blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. Now, it goes without saying that you're not going to sit in the company of mockers if you don't walk with the wicked. And you don't stand in the way of sinners. If you start well, you'll do well throughout. You're less likely to sit, and I suspect that what it means by sitting is to sit and listen, to chew the cud, to chew the rag, to enter into perhaps considerable conversation. And to this end, I go back again to my own youthfulness, and I remember how much talk there was on street corners late at night, groups of kids, and perhaps that's gone now, and perhaps it's on social media. But they sit, and it is of greatest importance this, you see. He goes from the wicked, he goes to sinners, and then he goes to mockers. Mockers, it has to be said, often mock the innocent. I just heard the health secretary this morning saying that he's going to bring in new legislation, and he's going to get Facebook, and he's going to get the other social medias. You can check it out on the news when you go home today. He's going to get them because of their attitude towards children. I don't know whether he's a Christian, I've got no idea. But he seems to care. Good. How much mocking must go on in social media? How much? I suspect, from what I've heard this morning, it is endemic. People who sit and listen, giving time to mockers, to those who are innocent, to those who are perfect strangers to them. Do you know, I've been on aeroplanes, and I've been on trains, where I've sat there reading for 8 hours, and you've heard people in the next seats who've never met each other, and they've got together, and in no time at all they've got into conversations, and I've recalled it, the mocking spirit about this group of people or that group of people. Politicians do it almost without even having to try. They do it without the slightest pang of conscience. And you'll hear mocking at school. You'll hear mocking at work. You'll hear mocking in the street. How many colleagues are mocked? How many fellow students are mocked because of their hairstyle, because of the clothes that they wear that's unacceptable, or whatever it might be? The New Living Translation says, don't join in with mockers, because what happens is they draw you to themselves so that you become like them. Have you heard those who mock people because of their colour? Because of their skin colour? Can you imagine that I want to actually join myself to such a person who mocks another human being because of their colour? Is this possible? You might find this hard to believe, but it's the truth. When I went to London as a student, I suffered quite a bit of mocking because I was from the north of England. I mean it. And sometimes it was unbearable. It just went on and on and on. There was a time when people were mocked because they were from Ireland, because they were Irish, and all those jokes that poured out because someone was Irish. The mocking of people because of their education, high or low. The mocking of people because they are poor or because they're rich. The mocking of God. The mocking of people who believe in the Bible. The mocking of people who have faith or believe in Jesus Christ. The mocking of those who go to church. What an extraordinary thing this is. Blessed and happy is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. In fact, I think this morning you will be able to go away and you'll be able to say, actually, everything that he preached on, I actually already know. Yes, you do. You already know it. You already know it almost instinctively, you know. But here God comes along with the force of his authority, and he speaks to each and every one of us, and he asks you to consider the way. And it may be that there are those of you here this morning who've not even bothered to listen, but there'll be someone who says, or there'll be someone who picks up this, the way Dwayne does it on the internet, someone will pick it up and they will say to themselves, that's the message for me. That's altered my way of life. It's my job to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I say that the gospel alters all of our walking and all of our standing and all of our sitting. If your life has become an unhappy journey of walking standing and sitting, then the Lord Jesus Christ comes to alter that journey and the route and the road and the path which you are on this morning. If you're the natural man, the natural woman, you're without the life of God in your life. Just acknowledge it. And you'll always gravitate to the sinners, to the mockers, to the ungodly, to the wicked. That's the way you'll gravitate. You'll use their language. You won't feel uncomfortable with them. You'll be quite at home with them. But you just wait. Once the Holy Spirit of God joins himself to your life, he'll alter you forever. He will change you forever. And his invite is like this. Come and walk in the light with me. You're walking in the darkness. So if you this morning can honestly say, I'm walking in the darkness of my own sin, I've got no power to change it, which you haven't, no power at all, that's why the Lord invites you to come to him. And he invites you to come, and he invites you to come just as you are. And he'll do the work of change. It is his work to alter us forever, to make us in his likeness, to shape us in a way which we have never been shaped before. Let me just put something to bed and done forever. This church can't shape you. I can't shape you. This church can't do the job of remaking you. I point you to Jesus Christ. Always. Never to me. I'm not a priest. I can do nothing for you. I can preach the word of God. And I can perhaps give you some good spiritual advice. But I point you to Jesus Christ. He's the physician of souls. Come to him. Come to him just as you are. And you watch as you put your hand into his hand. He'll walk with you in the walk of life. And in that walk of life, you'll have the light of life. And you'll never be the same again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, and so on and so on. And I'll deal with some more of that psalm next Sunday morning, God willing. May God bless his work to our hearts. Amen. Amen.